Welcome to the Ultimate Journey of Self-Care. I am Allison Kaczkowski, your host. Thank you so much for tuning in to check out exactly what we're talking about. Self-care means so many things to people. It's one of the reasons I decided to start this show. And you'll hear self-care discussed from a number of different angles in this space. I am grateful to have you with me, and I hope you get a lot out of what I'm going to share with you today.
Hey, everybody, it's Allison Kaczkowski. Thank you for joining me again today for another edition of the Ultimate Journey of Self-Care. This is our Tuesday flagship podcast. We are heard all over the world, and if you're tuning in for the first time or if you've been following us for quite a while, we welcome you. Today, my guest is Angela Fowler, who is the CEO of Real Life Access. That's the name of her company, and she is an accessibility consultant, has a very interesting life story. And what's even more amazing is what she actually, how her work translates, how that translates into her work into the world and how she helps products become more accessible to people with disabilities and handicaps. Angela, thank you for joining me today.
Well, thank you for having me.
Yay. So let's start with your story first. Tell my audience a little bit about you.
Right. So I was born in California, born and raised in California. And, I'm a mom, single mom, and I have a house and a bunch of fur children and a full-time job. So really I'm just your average American, average American girl, just making my way in the world. Uh-huh. And I'm totally blind, which does come to play in this, for the purposes of this episode.
Which I find incredibly admirable that you are doing all the work that you're doing despite having the deck stacked against you to a degree. So have you been blind all of your life?
I've been totally blind all my life. And if anything, it has motivated me to do the specific work that I'm doing.
I bet. I'm sure. So how did you get started in doing the work that you do?
You know, I've always been a tech head. You know, I'm not a digital native. I really got into technology when I was a teenager. And, you know, back in the early 2000s, it was easy, right? Because everything was, everything was simple in terms of navigating the computer, you know. And then things got fancy.
Yeah. And
What?
You can say that.
As things got fancy, they got less accessible. So the question becomes, okay, how do we make these fancy things accessible? And I remember I was, when I was younger, just getting really frustrated because I couldn't access, what other people could access. Now, let me take a step back because a lot of people don't know how blind people navigate the computer.
Well, I was going to get into that, but you beat me to it. So tell me a little bit. I think probably what people are thinking as they're listening to this is they're probably wondering, you mentioned that you've always been sort of a tech guru, and I'm sure people are wondering, how you've been able to navigate and become the expert that you are, even at this point in your life.
Right. So sighted people obviously use their eyes to navigate the computer, and they use the mouse. Some don't, but many do. Some sighted people actually choose to use the keyboard to navigate through things. We don't have those options. My eyes don't work, and when I try to use the mouse, I end up moving the mouse in increments of inches rather than increments of millimeters like you guys do, and the mouse runs away. So I use the keyboard, and I also use something called a screen reader, which is a software program that quite literally, as its name indicates, reads the text on the screen.
Interesting.
So while you can see the text, I can actually hear it. But sometimes things are coded strictly visually. So things are not coded to be keyboard accessible, and things are not labeled in such a way as to be understandable to a screen reader. So in order that things are accessible, they need, technology-wise, they need to be coded properly. And, it was when I was younger, I would attribute it to, businesses don't care, or businesses don't, I was involved in the disability advocacy movement at the time.
Uh-huh.
And I'm still involved in it to a lesser degree. But at that time, I was super involved in it. And the disability advocacy movement is very similar to other advocacy movements in that, we inadvertently create an echo chamber for our own frustrations. And out of that echo chamber, there comes really an us against them mindset.
I bet.
Us poor disabled people against those bad, evil businesses that, don't care about accessibility, or so we thought. So that persisted until I got a job that really changed my mindset. And there was two things going on. I was deep into the advocacy movement, and I was also deep in debt. Mm-hmm. I had thousands of dollars in debt. I had student loan payments that were going to be resumed. This was early 2021, so we pretty much knew they were going to be resumed. We just didn't know when.
Yep.
And I really felt at the time that I was out of control, that other people and other entities had control over my own life. And that's not a good feeling. But I got a job, and I almost skipped the interview, to be honest. I almost just said, to heck with it. But, something inside me just said, no, you're going. You're going to the interview. Suck it up and go. So I sucked it up and went. I aced the interview, and I actually ended up getting a job that made twice what I'd been making currently. And that job was as an accessibility consultant, which is somebody who teaches web designers and developers how to code things so that screen readers could understand them.
Right up your alley.
Pardon?
I said it was right up your alley, it sounds like.
Well, it was right up my alley, and it was the opportunity to be a part of the solution rather than just thinking about the problem.
Yes. Love that.
So two things happened there. I took the bull by the horns and started paying off debt. Paid it off as quickly as I possibly could. Dave Ramsey, eat your heart out, right?
Yeah.
And at the same time, I started talking to these designers and developers, and I realized these guys want to do the right thing. All these sighted people want to do the right thing. They just don't know what the right thing is sometimes, because they have varying degrees of knowledge about accessibility, from clueless to, knowing more about being stronger coders than me.
Right.
But they wanted to do the right thing.
Yeah. And so, I would imagine that there was probably, and, I mean this as kindly as I can possibly say it, I'm sure on their part, there was just a complete lack of awareness too. I mean, understandably, it's just not their world. And you were wanting to hopefully increase awareness, among other things.
Well, if you've never seen how a blind person does things, it wouldn't cross your mind. So these two things conspired, I guess you would say, to change my outlook on life and to really, put me in the mindset that, look, I've got a lot more ability to influence things than I thought. For one thing, I have the ability to influence my own financial situation by going out, getting a better job on my merit, by paying off the debt, by doing all these things. And I also have the ability, by making the right case, be it the business case, the morality, it is morally it's the right thing to do case, and sometimes even legal case when all else fails. I consider it sort of a final argument, so to speak. I have a lot more influence over accessibility, or more ability to influence accessibility, than I thought I did.
I bet, yeah.
And it has changed my attitude toward a lot of things. It's changed my attitude toward, society in general. It's changed my attitude really toward the advocacy movement. It's made me want to craft a new message.
I bet.
In terms of disability advocacy.
Well, I love, if I can just jump in here just for a minute, I love what you just said, and I just want to highlight this for people listening. You really took what could have been, and I don't think anyone would have blamed you if you had decided you didn't want to be part of the solution, right? It would have been somewhat understandable considering, how you were used to living. But what I love about what you just said is that you made a decision in that moment that you didn't want that your circumstances to define you. You didn't want any of this to, you didn't want to make it mean more than what you wanted it to mean.
And I really want people to understand that.
You know, we all have things.
Yep.
Sometimes it's blindness. Sometimes it's poverty. Sometimes it's a language barrier. You know, who knows? You know, name the thing. You know, name the thing. A lot of people have it.
Right.
The question becomes, okay, this is the situation I'm in. What can I do today to make it better?
Absolutely. You
know? And what attitude do I take into this with me? Because I think too many people believe the world is against them. You know, too many people, it's too much of a victim mindset, you know, and that doesn't help.
Yep.
You know, right, maybe it gives us a few sympathy points for a while. And, you know, maybe some days you need a shoulder to cry on. But ultimately, you're not going to change your situation by complaining about it and by focusing on everything that's wrong with it.
Well, and it's like one of the things I tell my clients a lot. When you talk a lot about what you don't want, that's what you're going to end up creating more of, right? When you talk about what you do want and what you want to see, you're going to see more opportunities toward that.
You know, there's another podcast that I'll be on at some point about manifesting and whether or not manifesting is this a G-rated show?
Of course. No, you can say what you want. I'm kidding. Okay. You can say what you want.
So the name of the podcast is Manifesting Bullshit.
Oh, I love it.
I know. I think it's great.
Hey, look, we speak the truth here. You know,
okay. Well, you know, I never know. I should ask people before I start the interview if I'm
that is okay. I welcome all opinions. Let's just put it that way.
Sometimes it's like, yeah, go for it. And sometimes it's like, no, this is children watch this.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's I've done a lot of thinking about this ever since I signed up to be a part of the podcast. And there are people for whom crisis is a constant state of affairs.
Yep.
And whose attitude is like you're accepting the next crisis. And when the crisis comes, you're like, yep, there you go. Told you.
You're creating your own evidence, in other words.
It's they're not happy unless they're miserable.
Yep.
And you can tell, you can hear it in their voice. There is an uptick in their voice when a crisis happens in their lives, almost as though they're happy about it.
Yep. Agree.
And because they're confirming what they already believe. And do they cause the crisis by thinking the way they do? No, not directly.
Yeah.
Their malaise leads to their putting themselves in situations where crises are more likely to happen. Their malaise leads to not bothering to do things that would prevent crises or solve the ones that are already occurring. And to me, how can you live like that?
Yeah. Well, it's like if you just keep talking, well, you know, this is what always happens to me. Mm-hmm. This is the way things always work out. I don't know why I should be surprised, because this is how it always is. And it's like, always if you keep talking about that, then of course you're going to create more of that.
Yep. It's no way to live life.
Yep. Agree. So I'm thrilled to announce that I'm partnering with a brand new product, and it's called Celevate. This is an amazing, tasty, gummy supplement, and it comes in two varieties. One designed to help you with inflammation and recovery, perfect for after a workout, or if you've had like several days in a row where you've really pushed it and you're really starting to feel it in your body, this is the perfect addition to a regular routine. The other formula helps address focus and memory, which, let's be honest, I think we can all use a little help there, right? What's different about Celevate is that not only does it taste great, but it has amazing antioxidant power. So many vitamins and supplements on the market today, you either have to take several in a single day to even see any kind of tangible result, or most of the time, a lot of them don't even give you the result that they promise. And Celevate checks both boxes. I take one of each formula every day. And what's more is that they pack and travel really well. So you can take some and put them in a Ziploc bag and throw it in your bag when you're going out of town, and they won't melt. And it just is the perfect addition to whatever it is that you're doing every day in the way of vitamins and supplements and whatever else works for you. So I knew that I had to get in here and at least tell you about it. I would love it if you would head over to their site and give it a try. I'm actually going to offer you a really special deal. You can find this amazing product at their website, and that's spelled Cellevate.com, which is CELLEV8.com, and use my special promo code, the Allison K 2024, and you can save 15% off. I would love to know what you think once you have a chance to try this.
You can't wait for other people to rescue you. You know, people think, you know, a part of that is, oh, maybe the government will save me. Maybe if I apply for this benefit, or if I wait for this person to get elected, you know,
yeah.
And I'm seeing it a lot in the disability community, this abject terror of the new administration. It's I don't even know how to describe it. And it's like, if you take control of your own life, if you advocate for the things you need with other human beings, the more you do that, the less what happens in government matters.
Yep.
Now, it is important to advocate for sensible policy at the government level. But if you go the route I'm saying, you're going to be able to do so with a lot more objectivity.
Well, and to your point, you're not going to make yourself miserable in the process. You know, we have to understand, regardless of what hand you're dealt, there are always going to be things that are out of your control. And I love what you're saying and what you're reminding all of my listeners of, and that is, you're always in control of what your response is. You can decide that you want to do something about it, or you can decide that, you know what, I'm not, I'm just going to be mad about it.
Yep. We can always choose a response, even in a situation where none of the choices seem good.
Yeah.
We can always choose our response.
Well, and that's where we always have control, because for people listening who want to say, but wait just a minute, I really don't have a choice here. I'm like, yeah, you've always got a choice.
And there are times in life where you just have to stop and go, this sucks.
Yep, totally.
This is really hard. This is really a difficult thing that I'm going through right now. And I don't think it's fair. And I'm angry about it. And I want something else. But you always choose how you respond.
Yep, absolutely. And you should feel your feelings too.
If
you don't like the way something is, you're certainly entitled to how you feel about it. But I also think that after a period of time, you have to look at the situation and say, you know what? Okay. You know, I've given myself the opportunity to feel this. Now what's my plan? You got to do something about it too.
Toxic positivity. People have accused me of being idealistic and, oh, Angela, you know, life's not all wine and roses, and, you know, I hate
you're
to
like,
burst
yeah,
your
I know.
Bubble, Angela.
It's not.
They always say that. They always say, I hate to burst your bubble. It's like a favorite saying of theirs. And I'm sitting here going, what bubble?
Yeah.
I'm the one with a realistic outlook on life, not you.
Well, you're just choosing, thought that serves you better than that, right? And your thought is, you know what? I've got a choice here. I'm going to do something about this. And that's what I really want to emphasize in what you're saying.
Yeah. Toxic positivity is not acknowledging when things suck.
Yep.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying, you know what? Sometimes we're dealt a bad hand. Sometimes we're dealt a, you know, all different cards and all different colors, and there isn't a thing you can do about it with it.
Yep.
But we choose how to respond. You know, do we let it sink us, or do we do what we need to do to deal with it and then go on with our lives?
So what are some pieces of advice that you can offer for people listening who are struggling with something, whether it's maybe they're struggling with a handicap or a disability and they're just not quite sure what their best plan of attack is, or maybe they're just feeling defeated today? What do you say to that person?
Well, you know, I have two things come to mind. You know, my grandma used to say, this too shall pass.
Yeah.
If you've ever had, you know, the darkest hour before dawn, right?
Uh-huh.
When you haven't slept and when it's 3:30 in the morning and the only thing you can think about is the situation and you know, everything that's wrong with it. And you have those times when every mistake you ever made is playing on repeat in your head. It'll get better. You have to have a good support network. You have to have positive and not, you know, toxically positive, but realistically positive people that you can lean on for support. You mentioned having a disability, acquiring a disability. And let me just take a minute to acknowledge that acquiring a disability is a lot harder than being born with one, because you have to learn how to live with a disability. You don't learn it, you know, organically like children.
Yeah.
Kids learn anything.
Right.
The single most important thing that I can tell you is find people in that situation that are further along in the journey than you are. Because they know what you're going through, and they can help you get through it. And they can tell you, you know, tips and tricks and, you know, ideas on how to adapt to having a disability.
That's really helpful. I just feel like people need to understand that, you know, and if for some reason they find themselves in a position and they don't have support, they should reach out to you.
Well, absolutely. You know, you can reach out to me, and I can certainly, you know, I work business to business. That's what I do. But, you know, I'm always up for a chat, and I can refer you to people and to organizations that are positive, that work specifically with people with disabilities.
Yeah. Okay. So tell us then just a little bit about how your business works, who you help, and how you're able to do what it is that you do.
So I teach small to medium-sized businesses how to make their businesses accessible to people with disabilities. And I don't teach a compliance model. I teach a user experience model, because if you take care of the user experience, compliance will, for the most part, the overwhelming majority of the time, take care of itself.
Yeah.
But people understand user experience. Compliance is arbitrary.
Okay.
And I teach not just digital accessibility. There are three categories of accessibility.
Mm-hmm.
There's digital accessibility, which is anything from your website to your social media to advertising. There's physical accessibility, which is anything from how do I organize my restaurant so that somebody using a wheelchair can get through it and do what they need to do, to what options do I provide at a potluck so that people with food allergies and dietary restrictions can, you know, have choices.
Yeah.
And then there's cultural accessibility, which is basically how does my organization view difference?
Okay.
Do we view difference as something to be feared and something to be, oh, you know, stop the presses, the blind girl just came in? Or do we view difference as simply ordinary? Hey, you know, what do you need to find? Can I help you find something?
Yeah, I love that. I love how you just referenced that. It's almost like, you know, just treat it as ordinary, right? Just like anyone else.
I like the word helpful nonchalance.
Okay. Good one. What are some of the more, maybe I'm not quite sure the right way to ask this, so I'm just going to go ahead and ask it. And that is there like a specific type of client that tends to seek you out? Is one of these three areas of accessibility, do you find one is more common than the other, or does it really just depend on the client and the business?
In most cases, the client's first contact with new customers is through their website.
Yeah.
So, you know, oftentimes it'll start with the website, and then, you know, we'll get into other categories. The website is like the tip of the wedge, so to speak. But, you know, in terms of is there a type of business, type of client? Not really. It all has to do with the openness of the business to accessibility.
The
willingness to embrace it. You know, there's a lot of reasons businesses don't embrace it, and it has nothing to do with the fact that they don't want blind people to be able to access, or people with other disabilities to be able to access their stuff.
Yeah.
That's a myth. You know, nobody's out to get blind.
Yeah.
That's not a thing.
Okay. So how do people then find out about you? Do you get a lot of your clients through word of mouth, or do you have a network that you work within?
It's, you know, it's a lot of it's word of mouth. I do have a, you know, I'm involved with a, you know, a couple of networking groups, but, you know, like most small businesses, a lot of it is word of mouth.
Yeah, I understand that. Okay. Last question before we wrap up. So I'm thinking about the person listening who maybe is feeling very hopeful or encouraged by what you, by what you've shared, but maybe they don't quite know where to start today, or maybe they just need a jump off point. What do you tell that person?
Well, absolutely. So go to my website, which is www.reallifeaccess.com, and book a time with me. Book a half hour block with me, because honestly, I don't know what you need until I talk to you. And we'll figure it out. If you're a business owner, we'll get a plan together to make your business accessible.
Okay. I love that. I love that you're just being so open and saying, you know what, just reach out and then we'll figure it out together.
You know, every business is different. Every person is different. You know, I know, you know, a lot of accessibility companies offer out of the box, you know, solutions that, you know, are supposed to, you know, plug and play, but those aren't always effective.
Well, and I think when we're dealing with human beings and human behavior, I think we have to have a little grace there, and we have to allow ourselves to customize things too. So I can appreciate that.
Yep.
Awesome. So is your website then the best way that people can contact you, Angela?
Yeah, it has everything. It has a contact form. It has all my socials. It has the, you know, the calendar. It has my courses. It does list some of my other services. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Reallifeaccess.com.
Reallifeaccess.com.
Fabulous. Thanks so much for making time to share your story and what it is that you're doing in the world. I think what you're doing is phenomenal. So I applaud you.
Well, thank you. Thank you for giving me this opportunity.
Of course, my pleasure. So anyone listening who is in, if you're in a position and you're feeling like nobody understands you, if you're feeling like you need some help, if you're feeling like maybe our conversation today really hit you just at the right time. I really don't believe in coincidences or accidents. I think that when we hear something that we know is meant to help us, there's a reason for that. Please feel free to reach out to Angela, connect with her on her website, reallifeaccess.com. You will find that link in the show notes. And as she said, all of her information is on her site, so you can connect with her on social media or any of her other products that she offers. And on that note, if what we talked about was helpful for you today, and you know somebody in your world that thinks needs to hear this episode, please feel free to copy the link to this episode and send it to them as a free gift from me. Or you can come over to my website, www.theallisonk.com. That's Allison with one L. And just hit the connect button and reach out to me and we will take care of it for you. This is why we've been able to build such an amazing audience and why I love connecting with so many of you across the globe every single week. And it's because I always tell people I have the best audience in the world. So just know, whether you're joining me today for the first time or you've been following me for any length of time, we do consider you part of our family. So please know my DMs are always open. You can find me on any of my socials or connect with me on my site. Again, that address is www.theallisonk.com. That's what I got for you this week on the podcast, folks. This is the ultimate journey of self-care. You are one step closer to your ultimate life, so make it a good one.